retrouvons l'agenda culturel tout en anglais.
Well, the twinkling symbols of Christian celebration which lit up our homes over Christmas.
Avec Véronica.
Have now been stripped of their baubles and thrown out onto the streets, waiting to be taken away. Perhaps it would be more sustainable to have an oh so realistic looking synthetic tree which can be lovingly stowed away until next year. On the other hand, and there is always another hand, the birth of Jesus is an event that is celebrated anew every year by millions, and so that's why we need a new tree each time, its short life echoing his curtailed existence. And as for sustainability, well, in Scandinavia, pine needles from the tree have often been used in cooking as a way of waste not, want not. But now there's a report out that says, don't do it. Many firs have been sprayed with insecticide. It could be dangerous. Is there anything we can all agree on? It seems less and less likely. Last week, for example, we talked about pantomimes, which are based on well-known fairy tales. The whole mood of panto is one of irreverent humour and romance. Well, at one Scottish university, students embarking on literature courses are being warned that these particular stories contain instances of witchcraft, violence and kidnapping. Such warnings are what the Brits call triggers. Isn't overcoming conflict the core to most stories and dramas? So where is all this going? Being so overly protective of young minds, how will that prepare them to navigate life? Or is it just because educational institutions, publishers, film companies are so wary of being sued that they just attach warnings to everything? Obviously, sometimes there is good reason. How long ago is it since a woman sued a large fast food chain for getting burnt by a boiling cup of coffee? Ever since, fast food products come with warnings, and quite rightly so. But should this apply to fiction? The subject of trigger warnings came to mind, as did Johnny Depp at his most gorgeous, in relation to Joanne Harris's 1999 hit novel Chocolat, which was then made into a film. The book is now being reissued with warnings that it contains spousal abuse, mild violence, death of parent, cancer, hostility, and outdated terms for travelling communities and religious intolerance. All of this to protect the reader from any nasty surprises, or to put them off reading it altogether. Harris believes it makes sense. Trigger warnings are like wheelchair ramps, she says. They exist because some people need them. So film posters in the UK offer warnings even before you arrive at the cinema or see the film on screen. The French equivalent, déclencher un avertissement, doesn't quite roll off the tongue, but I am noticing it appearing more and more frequently. Out of the three films I want to mention this week, one does and two don't. The Room Next Door, La Chambre à Côté, Almodovar's first feature in the English language, starring Julianne Moore and Tilda Swinton, is a meditation of a female friendship where one of them is dying. That's on Friday at 9 at Lectour, but that does not have an avertissement, even though it is about dying. Nosferatu, which is a remake of Bela Lugosi's scary classic, does have one. That's at the same cinema on Saturday at 9. The third film, We Live in Time, is Love Story for the 21st Century. Very well acted. Handkerchiefs are recommended. And that's on this Thursday at 5:30 in English at the cinema in Florence. Some might say that this film should carry a warning because it might well make you cry. I think there's a lot more work to be done on this subject from decision makers on both sides of the channel. And what about video games? Aren't they all about violence and scantily dressed muscle-bound men wielding weapons? I leave you with that image.
Retrouvez Véronica en podcast pour l'agenda culturel tout en anglais.
Till next time.
www.dfm930.com